This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Premier League Preview Show with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. It's the Premier League Preview Show with Chris and
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favourite podcasts.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
Net. You're watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Right, Chris.
All right there. All right at the back, a few technical problems to say the least tonight. How the devil are you all? Welcome along. This is Leicester Till I Die TV, and this is where you can find us.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Indeed, that is where you can find us. A few hellos. Good evening to Almighty Blues Ankit. Good evening, sir. Check that channel out. Great channel. Thanks for joining us. Ant here from the Leicester's Fan Channel. and obviously also beyond the 90. Give them both a check out. How the devil are you? Maguire bottled in front of a full King Power again. Well, you can, of course, say that. I couldn't possibly. Luca, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? Hope you are well. Thanks for coming. Goodbye. Got for 2-1 United straight away. Luca, oh, God, I love you, mate. Thank you for that. You know how to make an old man feel absolutely miserable, don't you? Before we start, though, I don't know if anybody was watching the other night. I was on Rich Sports Channel. We may be popping on in a bit. Man United fan. I was on there having a chat with him, and there was a few people having problems with their Wi-Fi. I hope this is going to happen, but just in case, I have actually run a Wi-Fi test. Now, if I can just get this up here, and we will have a look and just see if the Wi-Fi will actually work or not. Here we go. Let's see if we can get this work.
Testing, testing, testing. Good evening, ladies and... Concert tonight. Albert, back to the room. I'll keep going. Oh, I'm going to have a... Why is it close?
Yeah, that was what it was like. It was a bit, there were six of us in and two of us had decent Wi-Fi. Oh, how bad does it get? It's Man United this weekend, and, well, let's welcome him in. My guest, as we always have on the preview show, the more discerning woman's Totty. We're going to say good evening to Craig. Good evening, Craig.
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, everybody, all you discerning ladies and gentlemen. We wouldn't want to, make any assumptions.
Well, no, I mean, you know, if you're happy, and then...
I'm not, but I'm just saying, you know, each to their own. Everyone welcome to the show. Moving on.
We are all inclusive.
We are indeed.
Do you remember Norman Collins? That was just what it was like the other night with the Wi-Fi.
I mean, it was amazing, wasn't it? How you could build an act in the olden days. You know, you had the likes of Norman Collier who just did that when it didn't work. And then the likes of old Freddie Parrotface Davis who just went...
all the time. I mean, and out of his mouth as well, thankfully. You know.
Yeah.
Big up Luca, thanks for joining us. Luca wants us to beat them, but I feel United will win. Luca, of course, it was your Wi-Fi as well, yours and Maze's both there. Yes, hopefully it's working tonight. It was literally we caught every three words of Luca's, which is probably more often than we usually catch him. Terry, how are you, sir? Welcome along. How the devil are you? You've got your iPad to understand it's Friday. I got a message off Terry the other night going like, where are you? And this was like 7:30 last night, and I'm sat having a pizza with my daughter. You know why? He said, well, I'm waiting for the show. And I'm like, what show? He said, you should have been on at 7. We shouldn't. I think Terry had a bit too much of the old falling down water, if I'm honest with you, you know.
To be honest, though, Chris, it's a shock when you're not on.
This is very true.
Questions are asked.
I am on it more often than Marimore used to be at his peak, you know. Lucas says, big up to Craig.
Thanks, Luca.
Or up Craig Bigley, I'm not sure which. Connor from America, good evening. Will be interesting game for sure. I'll be on Rich Sports later today. I'm actually on Rich Sports on Sunday night. Maisie, who was supposed to be coming on this evening, she's not very well. So, I mean, you could say that she's, you know, maybe she's had a bit of an Arteta moment herself and bottled it and don't come on because she knows that we're going to stuff them tomorrow. But seriously, I do believe Maisie is unwell. So
get well soon, Maisie.
Yeah, get well soon. Talking to Maisie, of course, it's October. We are in October now. Mm. And what does October mean to you?
What does October mean to me?
Mm.
I get the feeling that you're looking for a specific answer, and probably an answer I haven't got other than Halloween.
Funny you should mention that. It is Halloween. I am just thinking now of Michael Jackson's Thriller with Maisie on the end, if you pardon the expression. That I think would have sold so many more records, wouldn't it?
I think it probably would have done.
And have you heard of fan art?
Yes.
Be careful how you say that. But yeah. Basically where, you know, like yourself, that's, you know, a well-known media figure, you get sort of fans that draw art of you. Well,
yeah, I've heard of it. I've not been subject to it.
Well, you're lucky because some of us have. And I've always got on well with Dan from Turf Morehouse TV, the old Burnley fan, but he did send me some fan art through earlier, so I'm a little bit worried about this. I don't know quite. He's put himself in the clothed one, and me. I do. I love the fact that you had to put your glasses on to actually see me.
Well, I haven't. Unfortunately, I have no binoculars.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I did say to Dan, "I wish I was that big," but you know.
Dan, that's an interesting one. A psychologist could have a lot of fun with the fact that he sent you that.
I think he could, actually, yes. He's putting together a football team, and what that has to do with it, I know not. Dan, yeah, I think you need to ring somebody, and quickly. Maisie likes the laugh, and my God, what an edit. I know. That is going to become my profile picture, though, on YouTube, I think it should be. Oh, dear. Where is his mother? Yeah, I think I've missed something there. But anyway, despite all this, a game's going to break out tomorrow. We're back from international, the excitement of international football. What can I say? And we are back with Premier League action. And it's a small visit here of Man United. Saturday at 2:00. No, it's not. It's 3:00, isn't it? I don't know why I
typed it. It is 3:00.
It is 3:00.
Have you put the clocks back already, Chris?
I was ahead of myself. Brentford is at 2:00 the following week on the Sunday. This is at 3:00 on Saturday, and it's going to be on BBC Radio 5 if you want to listen to it. Of course, it's on Radio Leicester if you're within the county lines, or if you prefer to listen to a couple of the ex-players joining in, lcfc.com/radio. And if we win, it's going to be our third win on the trot over Man United.
Will it indeed? Well,
I think we won the FA Cup.
I think it's a bit of an if, but let's think positively.
Are you worried? I mean, I was talking the other night to on the prediction show to Brad, and he actually admitted he was worried.
I think it shows how much we've changed and come on as a club. I don't get worried about us playing anyone anymore, to be honest. I think we'll give anyone a decent game. I think those days of being worried that you'd be on the wrong end of a thrashing, you know, have pretty much gone. You know, we will get the odd bad performance, but I wouldn't go into any game now feeling worried, to be honest.
I don't think I'm worried about a thrashing as such, but we always struggle, and we'll look at the figures later. We always struggle about games with United. Obviously, when we beat them at the end of last season, it was a very changed team for them. But I'm not saying this is a must-win game for Brendan. No, we're not even, you know, considering Brendan's position, and he's not considering his position as well, and that's some good news that he has come out and said he doesn't want the Newcastle job. Of course, you've always got the people who have put the dampener on things and say, well, he's waiting for the Man City job. But, you know, half the team and the manager going to Newcastle at the start of the week, wasn't there? But
yeah,
at what point do we start to get worried about the season?
For me, not yet. I mean, I think I'm a realist. I think I would be very disappointed if we're still, you know, in the bottom half of the table come Christmas. But I wouldn't worry too much. You know, we're not going to go down, you know, and we've been in many seasons where we start the season with the thoughts of just of the mantra of 40 points, 40 points.
Indeed.
I heard Ranieri pulled that one out as well during one of his interviews early on this week when people were asking him, could he do the same with Watford as he did with Leicester? And he repeated, you knew my mantra when I went in at Leicester, it was, you know, 40 points, 40 points. Yeah. So, you know, we're not at that stage. It's disappointing so far. We've got good players. We've got a decent manager. So you would think that at some point it's going to click for us.
And is it almost like, I don't know, I feel like this might be, we've had two really, really good seasons. Some could argue, if you're honest and take your blue tinted spectacles off, that we may be possibly punching above our weight when we're in the top four for so long. The top four is pretty much all sorted. Yeah. I think we know who the top four is going to be, just not the final order. But of course, you know, people have been saying, oh, you're going to be fifth again. But you've got other clubs, Everton, you've got West Ham, Villa possibly. All the, you know, these are the teams that think, yeah, you know, we're not exclusive to that position. And I just think maybe this is the season when it's a bit of a reality check.
I think you're right. And it just shows you, doesn't it, you know, how opinions change. I would imagine that the majority of Leicester City fans, if you ask them now and said, okay, we'll give you fifth place, they'd snatch your hands off, you know, based on the start we've had to the season. Yet last season, finishing fifth was a disaster almost. So, you know, it just shows you how...
You're not fickle as football fans, exactly, are we?
It shows you how, you know, how you just get disappointed. You get on that roller coaster, and when you're fourth and you're in the top four all season, fifth is a disaster almost. When you're hovering around mid-table or in the bottom half, fifth looks a fantastic end to the season. So I think we're due one. I think most teams, you know, within their remit, you know, Man United, let's talk about Man United, had a couple of seasons outside the top four. That's their equivalent, to be honest, of us finishing mid-table or bottom half. That's the equivalent thing. Virtually every team does it. And I think maybe you're right. This year it's us that we've got to change a bit. I think football's changed a bit. I think the Premier League has changed a bit. And I don't think we've caught up yet. I think it's probably going to be a battle of the two teams who are struggling to adapt, in that we play too slow. I think Manchester United can be accused of playing too slow as well. And this season has showed you that it's the teams who play quicker football. There's a lot more closing down from the front. There's a lot more closing down all through the pitch, and teams have to play quick. West Ham play quicker. I think that's why Everton will probably struggle, because I'm not sure, or struggle to meet the expectations of their fans, because I'm not sure they have the ability within that team to play quick football. And I think that's the way that the Premier League's going at the minute. So unless we adapt and learn to play a bit quicker, I think it's going to be a mid-table season.
Yeah, Terry's just saying there, I can't agree, I'm not 100% sure Man United will end up in the top four. We did have that discussion, Terry, but it was last night at 7 o'clock. You should have tuned in, you missed it. sorry, Terry, can't resist. Maisie says there, anything less than top three, that's if we get a small gap between third and fourth, is a failure for Man United.
Yeah.
I just think this season, um, for Ollie, he's got to win something. He's been given the money. He's bought, you know, Sancho, who he's wanted for the last two or three seasons. He's got, you know, the God has returned, you know, according to Sky. He's got to win something this season. And I think he's under a lot of pressure. Mm. And obviously, we can throw Newcastle in. But Maisie, I'm going to have to disagree with you here. I don't know what your thoughts are, Craig, but Maisie says Leicester needs to finish in the Europa Conference plus a good run in Europe to have a successful season also. I don't think so. I think whatever happens in Europe, in the Cups, if we finish top 10, that is, you know, I'm, you know, quite happy with. I'll be disappointed, but I won't be pulling my hair out like a Man United fan who finishes sixth or seventh and it's a disaster.
Yeah, I think you'd take one of those, particularly the start we've had to the season. I can't say that having both of those would be a failure.
No,
to be honest, I think we are going through that period of realizing what kind of club we are, and you know, if every fan realistically looked at the size of the club, the money that's available to all the clubs, it'd be interesting to see where they would put us. You know, where do they think we should finish? And that's always been levelled at the likes of Newcastle as well. You know, realistically, where do you think you belong? You know, over the years, have they belonged any higher than a mid-table Premier League team? Probably not. Yes, they've got a big fan base, but they don't have a lot of money, or they didn't. So their expectations are going to go through the roof now. And it's up to the managers and the clubs and the people who run the clubs to manage those expectations of the fans. But as you've seen with Newcastle fans, you know, their imaginations are running wild already. If you believe, you know, some of the stuff there, you know, they've got Haaland and Mbappe up front for them next season. So God help the rest of us.
And Tillemans and Ndidi in midfield and Rodgers as the manager. And the day the deal was done, they were saying on one of the sites, let's go and get Vardy. It's natural. And I think the thing with Newcastle owners are they're more realistic, you know, than maybe some of the fans.
I think so, because I don't think, you know, until they bring in a director of football or something, I don't think there's any football people part of that consortium. So they've got a lot of quick learning to do, to be honest. I can see them making a few mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
But coming back to Man United, you know, I think... hi, Turfmore. How you doing? Nice to see you.
Hello from him and hello from me.
I know. Yeah, I don't know which is which.
I'm Barker because of the size of me.
Well, that just makes me a midget. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, going back to the point about Manchester United's failures, it's some.
There you
I'm
are.
I'm not sure
Turf.
How many times we need to see that, to be honest.
Well, Turf's come on. And like I say, you are worrying me with that fan art there, Turf. You know, just get back to normality. Sorry, Craig.
Can we leave that up long enough for people to take a screen grab and then initiate a caption competition?
No, no, we can't. and if you have any more of those ideas, let me just show you. I'm going to have to take you out here, but I'm going to show you, because this is the new competition we're going to be doing. I haven't quite discussed it with you yet, Craig, but I do think this is a good competition that we can go for. But it does mean that I am going to have to put, if I can just get rid of that comment, I am going to have to put some fancy dress on. There we go. How do we feel? How do we feel about playing that game? I think it would work. I think it really would work.
Well, I'm sure we'd get a lot more viewers, to be honest.
Yes.
Is that your Halloween outfit?
Have you watched that yet, Greg?
No, I'm not. I'm aware of it,
yes.
But I haven't yet partaken.
I heard about it on the telly yesterday morning, and I watched the first episode, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I just had to watch the second one. So yes. They'd probably sooner see me in that than see me like Dan sees me. But going back to Man United, sorry, this was just last season. You know, they only got a point off us, although they did say it was a weakened team they put out against us. But I even remember then, pretty much like the start of this season, we struggled against that Man United team that was out.
Yeah. I mean, what would really help us is if Fred was fit, I think, because I think he's been our best player the last few times that we've played against Man United, to be honest. So that would be good for us. I'd take that. But yeah, they're almost like the bigger brother of Leicester, that you never really know which one's going to turn up. No. You know, that's how we're feeling at the minute. And I think Man U and their fans must be exactly the same, that they don't know. They've got, you know, such a wealth of talent at that club, but he's struggling to blend it. And Brendan's got the same at the moment, not so much a wealth of talent, but he's struggling to blend the talent that he does have at his beck and call.
I've got a lot of that talent tomorrow. I mean, we'll come on to this later when we do, because we were hoping if Maisie had turned up that you were going to do a combined 11. So we're going to try and do a combined 11 with yourself. Rich might join in if Rich can get on, but it is a little bit early for him. But the back two could be interesting.
I think both back fours, are going to be interesting, to be honest. Centre half pairings. I mean, there's some, injury news that's coming out of our club that has made me look at the combined team that I've put together again. But I think it's more positive news for us, but not so much for Manchester United. So it's going to be interesting which way they go, to be honest, and whether, you know, it depends what whether Ollie has faith in the centre-back pairing that he does put out. You know, if by all accounts, you know, Varane, I think we know he's definitely out, and Maguire looks like he'll be out as well. If he doesn't have faith in them, then there's every chance that he's going to go with another two in front of them, which takes away a bit more of their attacking prowess. I know he likes to play with two holders anyway, but I think that would be even more so if he hasn't got his first-choice centre-back pairing out.
Do you think, because on this show, we have sometimes questioned Brendan's choice of formation and his tactics. Do you think that's, and I'd be interested to see what Maisie and any other Man United fan that's watching thinks, is that a failure of Ollie as well? His tactics, he's not a tactical genius when it comes to his players and his formations?
I think so. And, you know, I had a similar conversation this week with a Manchester United fan, and I likened Ollie to, he's a bit like Brendan, but also maybe to a lesser extent, I would say Southgate as well, that, you know, they seem to be these kind of managers who wants to be the player's friend, you know, rather than this sort of strong arm person. And I think you get the feeling that all the players love Ollie, particularly those that are playing, those that don't, maybe not so much. But but his failure is when it comes to the tactical side of it. And when he comes up against someone who understands the tactical side a little bit more, he doesn't make the changes that are required. And it's the in-game changes, I think. You know, that's where managers earn their money. And very early on, if we go back to the early days of Mourinho, that was the thing that everybody talked about, Mourinho, that he would make substitutions really early in games if he saw that his tactics weren't right and he needed to tweak it. And he had fantastic success on the back of that. So it's those in-game changes. And I think that's where Ollie's fallen down a lot, that he's not reacted to either what the opposition's doing or changes that the opposition make as well. So, you know, yeah, I think that could well be his downfall. Going back to your earlier question that he has to win something, I think you're right. I don't think he can go through another season without any silverware, because, I mean, it's what, 3-4 years he's been there now. So
yes, yeah, you know, and he's got the team now. And he's been given the money and the players. He should. Dan, thank you so much for that. Contributed via a super sticker. Anybody that's feeling a little bit generous, please do. And if I can get YouTube and get my hands around their throats, I'll actually sort out the way that they can get the money to me. I'm having a few problems with them at the moment. Maisie says, I think there has been faults with Ollie information who played. However, I think there is a fault in the coaching staff. You were said before, though, Craig, it was interesting that you were likening going back to Mourinho and his style.
and you got Ferguson and the old hairdryer and all this. But do you think you get away with that these days? I mean, you know, it's a different world we live in now. It's all very woke and you can't say boo to a goose. And
I think it's, yeah, no, I think it's a different game now. I would say the only one who probably gets away with it a little bit is Klopp. He seems to have, you know, two sides of him, to be honest. He is their best friend, but he doesn't half give them something on the sidelines as well. Everyone else, excuse me, seems to be sort of a chummy manager, or they're right, really passionate, but he doesn't last very long. You think of the likes of Sarri or Conte, for instance. But this has been the way of Italian.
He couldn't control players on the pitch anyway, could he?
Yeah, well, exactly. But, you know, and again, Ranieri mentioned this today in his press conference. They were saying, you know, you've come to a club where, you know, they sack people. And he said that's just the way it is in Italian football. Now, obviously, they're run by Italians, owned by Italians. And Italian football has always been that. The managers come in, get a couple of seasons, they're either successful or they're on the bike. And I get the feeling that the Premier League may start to move in that way, that you come in, you have to make an impact or you're out. I think the merry-go-round will be more and more. And I think the likes of, you know, Sean Dyche up at Burnley being offered long contracts are probably long gone.
As indeed Alan Pardew at Newcastle. Yeah, I was informed that that has now actually finished and he is off the payroll finally.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yes, indeed. Talking of players, power, et cetera, two different versions of life at Leicester coming out this week. Dennis Pratt, who's very, very miffed, to say the least, at Leicester. And he's still on our book, so he's going to be a little bit careful. He's only on loan at the moment. And then Dracovic, who couldn't believe what fun it was to be at an English club.
I think Pratt is obviously feels a little bit hard done to. And I think most people will, most Leicester fans will believe it as well. And I think it's hard to disagree with what he came out and said. You know, he is kind of burning his bridges a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the fact that he was saying that he looked at the team and the players who were in his position that were competing with him weren't pulling up any trees, yet he still wasn't getting any game time. Yeah. So
Very true.
Yeah, that's it. And he did say, just ask the fans of their opinion. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But I get the feeling that, yeah, Brendan is that kind of guy that outwardly he'll say, yeah, he's, you know, he's a part of the squad, he's a really important player for us, blah, 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 blah. But behind the scenes, I got the feeling that he's the kind of person who would fall out with you. I mean, didn't he come out pre-season when he couldn't get rid of Benkovic on a loan deal? All of a sudden came out and said that his attitude in training was fantastic. You know, he's been a real part of the squad. Haven't seen a hair or hide of him. So he can't be on the bench
once in Europe because he can't be in the Premier League squad.
Yeah,
they got him in the European squad.
I don't know. I just get the feeling that Brendan would fall out with players.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a little bit of a food break. While Maisie's here, we're just going to have a little bit of a food break, I think.
Garlic bread.
Garlic. Bread.
She loves her garlic bread, does Maisie. So going on to Peter Kay, I forgot where I was now. The form going into this. I mean, Man United's not been that. Yes, they had three wins, but in fairness, Wolves and Newcastle, you know, that they should be given for Man United. West Ham, yeah, that's a little bit tougher. But losing to Villa, and of course they just drew with Everton, so they're not on brilliant form. No. And Maisie, thank you very much. I can afford a garlic bread now for your donation. Thank you so much. For ourselves, it is a bit more worrying. Our biggest win of the season, as it happens, is a 2-1 over Norwich, and of course we let a 2-2 against Crystal Palace go. But to me, it's been the performances.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it used to be. I mean, particularly when I know I keep harping back, but the season we won the league, I remember that the feeling of joy that came over you if we got into the lead, because you had a you almost knew that if we got in the lead, we would go on and win the game. You know, we had that run of, I think, 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 1-0s in a row. But that relief, I remember going to the games and the relief of getting the first goal, because you thought, we'll see this through now.
Yes.
Now we can't even hang on to 2-goal leads, you know. Mm. So, yeah, it is worrying from that perspective. It is the performances, and he really hasn't got that balance right. You know, hopefully he sticks with at least the two up front and decides that, you know, it's better that we score more than we let in, and take that approach almost the same way that West Ham have. You know, they fancied themselves to score more. You know, they've had a couple of dodgy results recently as well. But finding the balance is the key. And we know that, you know, there's players on the Man United side tomorrow that will punish us if we make any errors.
Yeah, and it depends. With Terry mentioned Ronaldo earlier. Mm-hmm. Ronaldo, as he spelled it, but Ronaldo. Yeah, Ronaldo. Yes, his brother, Ronaldo. I think it depends. I've kind of been surprised at his performances over the last couple of games, because I think him coming into Man United, to me, was almost the final piece of the jigsaw for them. Maybe we're expecting too much that he's going to be brilliant performance game after game after game.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, let's face it, he is, you know, I know he's only a couple of years younger than both of us, but, you know, he's still looked after himself pretty well. But yeah, I think the expectations are high, and there's no way that he can turn that out. Thing is, when you bring in somebody like that, it affects the people around you as well. You know, Pogba was the main man. All of a sudden, Bruno Fernando comes in. He becomes the main man, and Pogba's nose is out of joint.
Yeah.
Now you've got Ronaldo coming in, and Fernandez's nose is out of joint. You know, it'd be interesting to see who takes a penalty if they get one. Hopefully they won't get one tomorrow, but after his last one.
So he's going to...
yeah, I mean, there's got to be lots of egos.
Then that's down to the manager, isn't it, to manage the big name. You're going to bring these big names into the club, you know. Pep can do that very, very well. And I honestly think Klopp can as well, but it's whether Ollie can, you know, like I say, one, and we know what it's like at Leicester, you know, you bring in one really big name and it does disrupt the Band of Brothers feeling that we've got. But you've got to be able to manage that. And I'm not sure whether Ollie can or not. Anthony, good evening. He's gone for a 2-2 draw. Andrew, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Understatement of the season. I think Brendan makes some very strange substitutions. I think you could be right. Maisie's here. Rashford is meant to be back, so maybe he may start. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be, I think, a game of the walking wounded. Dan says, rumours say they want Fofana. Look, they want everybody. You know, they've been linked with... They're going to go from all the fans at every club, Dan, going, oh, nice one, Newcastle. You've had 14 years of Ashley. You deserve a bit. Go on. You know, we're all happy for you. To absolutely peeing all the other fans off by going after all of their players. It's not going to happen straight away. They are going to take the time. They've come out and said that, I think, and I think they'd be silly to go out in January and... Well, first of all, I think you said earlier, they've got to get a sporting director in.
Yeah.
They've got to get a new... I think Bruce is here for the weekend because it's his 1,000th game. So I think they're giving him that. And then I think he will be out the door. They've got to get that sorted. And I think this season is just a consolidation for them, if you like. And they've said it'll be 10 years probably before they're in a position to actually win the Premier League. So they're sensible. I think they are being sensible, even if the fans aren't. And, of course, newspaper journalists, they've got to write something about it, haven't they? You know.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that, I would be more worried if I was a Burnley fan that it would be Tarkowski that's going to go. For me,
well,
that's
been linked as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, know? I mean, that's the kind of player that I can see going. That they'll go and pick up players who are coming to the end of their contracts with no sign of them signing a new one. So you've got the likes of Tarkowski, Lingard at Manchester United, maybe another one that falls into that camp. They're the sort of players that I would think they'd be going for. You know, not ones who are going to cost them loads of money, because you just throw lots of players together, then it's not going to work. And with the best will in the world, Fofana's not been in the Premier League that long anyway, and I can't see him. You know, players are not just going to all of a sudden be clamouring to join Newcastle. Let's not be under any illusions of that. Well, I don't think Newcastle fans should be, to be honest.
Simon Jordan that said, you know, a player's going to look at moving teams. Chelsea, Arsenal, London, Bright Lights, Man United, Man City, Manchester with the Manchester scene, even possibly Liverpool. Newcastle? Why, hey, man, what's up in Newcastle? Yeah. So they're going to have to pay a lot more money to get people to go up there.
They are, and it's whether people, you know, players want to be part of that from the starting point. And, you know, if you're just going for the money, you're not there for the right reasons. And I'm sure that, you know, the Newcastle fans wouldn't want people to be going there just for the money as well. They want people who are in it for the long haul. So they've got to be really careful about who they do pick up and players who want to be part of growing something. So, and I think a lot of that will come from the manager as to who they go on to get.
Yeah. Can I just say, I think we should actually just clip that, because Dan is agreeing with me. It is not often that Dan agrees with me. And so I think I just need to actually sort that out. Going back to Man United, Dan, I want to bring, we're going to look at the team later, but they are apart from Man City, this is the real test for us, isn't it? It's the first, what I would call, big test. And this is the game that's worried me, because if we're not beating the likes of Palace, Burnley, Brighton, and no disrespect to them, what's going to happen against Man United?
Well, this is it. I think, you know, I think if Man United beat us, you know, we're already 9 points behind them, to be honest. So if you've got any ideas of having a top four tilt, you know, it's probably going to be down the pan tomorrow, to be honest. It's not a must win. Although, I've sat on this show prior to multiple games and said, you know, where people have said that it's going to be a must win game. And I'll go down the other path again and say it's a must not lose game.
I think you're right.
Yes, we really could do it, but you can't start to get 9 points behind and have any realistic ambitions for catching teams.
Yeah. Well, good evening, Scott. How the devil are you? Thanks for joining us. Dan says, if Tarkowski was to go, it would be a sickener. Rumours are he's close to agreeing a new deal.
Was he close to signing it before Newcastle got the takeover, though?
This is it. I mean, in a way, all it does, and we know here at Leicester, it just means you'll get more money for it. 22 million buys you the Premier League. Rich says Newcastle are going to raid Burnley. Tarkowski, Chris Wood to make sure Burnley go down. Newcastle just need to make sure they stay up this season. Basically, that's what we were saying earlier. Rich, I don't know if you are able to come on. I did tweet you the link if you wanted to. And we're going to do the joint team in a minute. And just for me, there we go. Just to show that I did clip it, Dan, that where you said I was spot on with something.
He's just being nice to his favourite model.
I am getting really worried about Dan now. Drawing me like that, then giving me compliments.
You know, it was all in the eyes, you know.
Yeah, well, you see where I was looking. Season so far, this is a tad worrying. Chances created per match, Leicester 0.86, Manchester 2.29. You can't let Ronaldo have that many chances and don't think he's going to score.
No, I to be honest, I'd love to know how they work those stats out, because even Burnley, when we drew 2-2, we got two goals. That must be two chances. We had at least three chances before that we could have scored. So there's five in one game, And what have we played? 7, 8 games? Mm. So basically, if that's the stat, what they're saying is we haven't made any chances other than in the Burnley game. You know, someone needs to explain that stat to me, I think. And maybe Brad's the man. He loves a stat.
He does. He does indeed. I didn't look at that. I mean, average goals scored per match, we're 1.29 there too. This is a Premier League, by the way. I should just say that. Average goals conceded, we're 1.7 there, 0.86. I get those because you can work those out easy enough, you know. But like you say, the chances created, it does worry me just looking at that. And the other thing that worries me slightly is, of course, the old Premier League table. I mean, you know, this time last two seasons, we've been comfortably in the top four. There we are now in 13th. You know, if it goes against us this weekend, you know, we could be down to 17th, literally.
We could be. We could be looking over our shoulders at Moneybags Newcastle.
Yes. And on top of Dan. And that's not a very nice thought.
Well, I know. We've seen the picture. You prefer being under him.
Shush. People start to believe you. He says, quickly changing tack. Let's have a look at some comments here. Thanks for that, Craig.
You're welcome.
You can't catch 9 points unless you're Man City or Liverpool last season. Dorco, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? If Madison's and Tillemans turn up, we'll be okay. Well, that's the big question, isn't it? You know. Static, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Thanks for joining us. Hey, Chris and Craig. Turf Moore says you should have won that game. No, you shouldn't. VAR showed you were clearly miles off. And you didn't deserve to win that game because you've got a team full of cheaters. Let's just be honest, Cornet. did I say that out loud? That wasn't that shouldn't have come out quite as loud. I was listening the other day. They came out with the most influential player and all Brighton right up there in the Premiership League. It'd be interesting to see the team, and we will very, very soon be coming on to that. And let's just have a look here. Head-to-head, I mean, you know, I know I said earlier that we'd won the previous, the last two. One was the FA Cup quarters, of course. We'll just get rid of that comment. 30 times we've played them in the Premier League. We've won three.
Yeah. It's not great. It doesn't fill you with a lot of confidence, does it?
No. This is... Am I building this up to be more... scary than it should be? I mean, I know we are in Halloween and we are in the scary month here, but am I building this up to be more scary than it probably will be?
Yeah, I think so. I'll go back to the fact that our best two performances have arguably been against Manchester City and Napoli, who are both at the top of their respective divisions or near the top, you know, the best teams there, and we've performed very well against them. We've been unlucky. We were unlucky against Manchester City. You could argue again that they had better chances, but the one that they got and they took was a lucky break of the ball. Yeah. And we have been unlucky with a few breaks of the ball, to be honest. I think it was the same against Palace. Yeah, we didn't deserve more than a point, but both of their goals were breaks of the ball that bounced to them. So, you know, these are little things that go either way. And in some ways, you can say that we've played really, really poorly this season. Yeah, we've been in every game, and we could have taken more points than we could have done. But I don't think Man United have pulled up as any trees either, to be honest. In terms of the players they have, I don't think they've been, you know, walloping teams. I think that Wolves game where they won 1-0, if my memory serves me right, Wolves should have been out of sight in that game. It was one of those again that Traore missed a hatful of. So I think they're a little bit susceptible to pace. It'd be interesting if Bailly plays. He's got a bit more pace. So, again, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very tactical tomorrow in terms of the teams that are put out there. So,
What Maisie said there, Ollie is in extreme pressure. The game is a must win for Man United tomorrow.
I think at the minute, because I don't think their form has been brilliant, to be honest. And... I think patience is wearing thin, to be honest. Having said that, I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, where they're going to go. You know, who would they get in if they got rid of Ollie at the moment? I'm not sure. There's not a lot of candidates without pulling someone out of another big team.
Well, Steve Bruce might be available.
That's a very, very good shout. And to be honest...
And of course, he's played for Man United, so exactly. It's like returning of the prodigal son.
Well, exactly. It's enough to get you the job these days. That's how Ollie got it.
Mm.
You know, not for anything else he did. So... It's going to be interesting. The team sheets are going to be really interesting, more so than most weeks, I think.
Yes, it is. And the formations and what have you. Right, it's that time when hopefully Maisie would have been in. But like I say, do get better soon, Maisie, and thanks for coming in. I don't think Rich is going to be able to join us. It is a bit early for him. So you're going to do a combined 11 on your own of Man United and Leicester. This could be interesting. You could lose a lot of friends on here. Yep. And we'll have a look at that right after this.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh,
I love that one.
I miss Van Gaal. I really do. Mm. Bless him. Right, so here we go. Let's have a look. So we're going to be looking at, as a combined 11. We've gone for 4-4-2. You're happy with that formation? I think it just keeps it easy, doesn't it?
It is. I think it's simple. There's less conjecture, I think, about that formation than others about who would play where.
Yeah, so here we go. Let's see. How we are going to do this. Let me just get rid of that. Maisie says, oh my god, Van Gaal. Yes, there's just some managers are just like they're there for like the other 19 teams' enjoyment, and he was one of them. It's a must win due to who we are coming up. Also, in recent form, after use, we have Liverpool, Atlanta twice, I believe Spurs and Man City. Ooh, that's not a good run. Right. And Scott says, be warned here, Craig, as long as you don't pick Fernandes and Ronaldo, I won't fall out with you. So
it was nice knowing you, Scott.
It was indeed. Right, here we go. Fingers crossed. So, in goal, we obviously have... Mr. Schmeichel, and of course we have Mr. De Gea. Who are we going to go for in goal?
Or you've got the other Manchester United goalkeeper who's been well respected enough to win some England caps as well. But for me, I'm going to go with Schmeichel.
Yes,
I think. You know, De Gea, I never really bought into the hype that De Gea was that good anyway, to be honest. No. You know, I think I get fed up of, you know, you're seeing commentators bang on about what a fantastic save. And the only one who ever comes out and says, hang on a minute, he should save it, I think, is Roy Keane when he's on. It's like it was straight at him or whatever. And you know, I think he's overhyped, De Gea.
I think the problem is he had that one good season.
Yeah.
And then he was linked with, what was it, Madrid or Barcelona, one of them. And since then, to be honest with you, yeah, he's been good, but he's not been spectacular at all. I agree with you.
He's a good keeper, but he doesn't command his box to me, to be honest. He doesn't seem to be vocal. You know, now we all know that Schmeichel's vocal, but De Gea doesn't seem vocal enough. He's a good keeper, but I wouldn't put him, I wouldn't swap him. And that's what you look for this. I've had to go a little bit about in terms of balance, but would I swap players for others? So for me, it's Schmeichel.
That's a good way of doing it. Rich and Maisie both went, believe it or not, for De Gea. And Scott went for Schmeichel, but I agree with you there. Not that I get a say in this, of course, because...
It'd be interesting if they thought, you know, if the rumours came out that you were going to sign Schmeichel in January, I assume that you would both not be happy then.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll wait and see if they respond to that. Mm. Rich says here, Leicester have conceded twice as many goals, though. Mm. Yeah, but actually, to me, that's the as much the defence.
Yeah, that's not a
as is the goalkeeper. No matter, you know, if you've got a really good defence in front of you, the goalkeeper is like almost a bit, obviously, a bonus, if you like. But if your defence is rubbish, you can't just make your goalkeeper to save everything. Yeah. And at the moment, and we're going to find out how bad it is now, our defence is not having a good season. So it is putting that extra on Schmeichel. I don't think you can look at Schmeichel and say, you know, it's all down to him, to be honest with you. But I do see where you're coming from, but I just I don't agree, Rich. So left back, who are you going to go for in the old left back?
It has to be Luke Shaw for me. I think he's sort of reinvented himself under Ollie. He's probably one of Ollie's success stories. He does throw in the odd, I would say not bad game. He probably
true book line.
He probably throws in the odd average game, you know, not a bad game. But overall, you would say Luke Shaw's a 7-8 out of 10 most weeks. And, you know, most teams would take him, to be honest. I think he's a solid left back.
Maisie agrees with you. Scott's gone for Luke Thomas. I think we're seeing a bit of bias come out from a lot of people here. I mean, I obviously, as I say, I find it hard for me to contribute to these because I don't know enough about the players of other teams like a lot of people do. But I tended to have my opinion of Luke Shaw. It was on the Mourinho, he's fat, he's overweight, he shouldn't be playing sort of thing. At the Euros, he was one of my England players of the tournament, to be honest with you. And I think I would have him if he was available and we could get him in. You know, we couldn't afford him, probably. I would definitely say, you know, Maisie, you didn't get the memo, did you? You didn't get the memo. This based off overall, do we add injured players, e.g., Fofana? No, we don't. This is just who is available, is it not, Craig?
This is based on who we think is fit to play in this game.
Which Scott. I won't put your next comment up because they're both injured. So on the right then, on the opposite side to Luke Shaw, and I totally agree with you on Luke Shaw. To me, he'd be one of the first names on the team sheet. Whether that was, you know, coming back from the Mourinho comments or Ollie's man managed him well, or he's always just been that good. But, you know, he always had the potential and I do rate him. Right back, are we going blue or red?
Well, this is a tricky one, to be honest, because I rate Wan-Bissaka as a defender. I think he gets a bit of a hard time about his abilities going forward, but he's very similar. He reminds me a lot of Kyle Walker in the fact that he's pretty quick and he gets forward a lot, but then he doesn't seem to know what to do with it, so he turns inside a lot. But defensively, I think he's great. I think he's a great one-on-one. But I can't put him ahead of either of ours, to be honest. And what I've gone for here is based on current form. And I've actually gone with Castagna over Pereira. Yeah. Based on the fact that I think he's been more solid defensively. Excuse me. But he does get forward and support the attack. I think at the top of their game, Pereira would win it for me. But at the minute, I don't think Pereira's at the top of his game. So I've gone with Tim on this one. I just think he looks a little bit more solid at the moment.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Maisie and Rich are biased at all. You know, wouldn't call them Mr. and Mrs. Brown Paper Jiffy Bag at all. But they're both going for all Man United players here. But then again, Scott agreed there. But no, I agree with either Castagna or Ricardo. And yes, I totally say I agree with you, Castagna on current form. Rich, you obviously see the guy more than we do. He says he's been good this year, but sorry, you should have been on the show. it's our show and we'll do what we want, you know. Terry, yeah, you are going off topic. Well, with that, go on. We'll come back to that later. Okay, now this is going to be very interesting because you've probably got a pool of about two players to pick from here. Now, I know one that I would definitely have in there if the rumours about fitness are true. Let's have a look next to Luke Shaw.
Oh, geez.
Is he available?
Yeah.
I'd have him in goal, though, because Jesus saves, doesn't he?
Well, apparently so. But Vardy nets the rebound, to paraphrase a famous bit of graffiti. Now, this centre-back pairing is really hard, to be honest, because you haven't got your first-choice Man United centre-backs. You haven't got... Well, we have got probably our main choice. Obviously, Fofana would walk into this team if he was fit. You know, if everybody was fit, this is Fofana and Maguire, and we just move on really quickly, I think.
Yes.
But they're not. So Man United are going to probably end up with Lindelof and Bailly.
That's what they're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. So and Vestergaard's injured for us. Yeah, apparently he picked up a knock while he was away in Denmark.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think it's long-term, but I think he got a knock. And probably, to be honest, it helps Brendan's narrative as well of not playing him. You know, I'm not dropping him. He's got a knock. So, I don't know. Let's do the right side first because I'm still torn. I'm still torn on the left side, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Evans.
Yes, I was just going to say, does it start with an E? Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be because it was only recently, just before we came on air, that I heard that he was actually fit. And it sounds to me like they deliberately kept him out of the Northern Ireland squad to put him through a fitness program that would get him ready for this game. That's what it seemed to be for me. You know me, I'm not overall his biggest fan. But I think when you're looking at the fact that I don't think
that's the bit I'm clipping else, that you picked Evans.
I don't think anyone else is a first choice at this stage of the season. So I'm going to have to go with Evans purely, I think, for his vocalisation, to be honest. So
I'm just falling off my chair there with what Maisie's picked a Leicester player.
Yeah, but he's ex-Man U, isn't he? So.
Well, you beat me to it. Beat me to it. Andrew suggested there a Marty with Evans. I don't know if that's going to be your decision or not.
No, I mean, for me, they're both right-sided centre-backs anyway. Yeah. So, So the left side, for me, I'm going to have to go Soyuncu, but only because Evans is playing.
Yes.
If he wasn't, I'd probably play Soyuncu, but I'm very close to putting in Eric Bailly because I really like Eric Bailly. I think
you can
he's
put
not...
him in if you want to put him in.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, let's put him in for balance, to be honest. Let's put Bailly in for balance. Obviously, I don't know how they play together. I think Caglar would put in a better performance playing alongside Evans than he has done, but for balance, let's put Bailly in. I think he's one of those players who I liked as soon as he came to the club, to be honest. I think I saw him for the first time was in the Community Shield when we played Manchester United. And, you know, I know Vardy scored, but for most of that game, most of those, it's interesting to say they've gone Soyuncu. For most of that game, Eric Bailly...
God's law. She's not awkward at all, is she? Yeah.
For most of that game, Eric Bailly was outstanding, to be honest. And I think... I agree he's too injury prone, but we're picking him for one game. So that's why I'm putting him in, because I think when he is fit, if he had a run of games and could stay fit, I think he'd be a top-class defender.
Do you think with Soyuncu as well, he's been moved over to the right and it seems to have sort of calmed him down, because we know at the start of the season he was having a mare. And, of course, putting him back on the left against Ronaldo is, you know, the worry.
I think it'd be too good to kick him, wouldn't
he? Just mess my graphics up, because on the post match I've got Vestergaard and Ronaldo as the featured players. But yeah, so I think I can see, you know, because it's the left. I must admit, I would have had to go down the line with Bailly as well. Munsey, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? United to win all the way. Surprise, surprise, as Silla once said, being a Manchester fan. Don't blame you at all. Nandez, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Maisie says, yes, he will. I think he will. I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
I don't think Solskjaer can get away with having Alex Ferguson criticising him for not playing him again.
No. Did that happen? I've not seen that.
By all accounts, again, you don't know whether it was true, but by all accounts, Ferguson was heard saying that he made a mistake in his last team selection, and you always play your best players.
But, do you know what it gets me, though, is ex-managers that hang around the club, and don't get me wrong, I understand why, you know, Ferguson is there in his ambassadorial role and what have you, but those sorts of comments just aren't helpful to me.
They're not, but you can't, you know, I understand that, but I don't think that wherever you go, you should be self-editing. I would imagine that's post-match. They've gone into the restaurant, they had a few drinks or whatever. Some of the press people have been in there, you know, and whether it's been overheard or not, I don't know. I doubt he would come out deliberately and say it. No. It sounds to me like the sort of thing that he's had a private word with somebody over a drink after the game, and somebody's picked up on it and decided to leak it.
Can you imagine somebody doing that to Alex Ferguson? My God. You know? I don't think you could. But right, sir, left midfield.
Left mid. I know Rashford's fit.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it is a big but, bit like I've got. The fact that he's been out for a few weeks, you know, again, at his best, he's a great player. For me, he's not consistent enough, you know, so I haven't put him in. I've gone, actually, on the left hand side, I've gone for Lookman.
All right, okay. He's not played there this season.
No, he's not. Yet. But for me, he looks more natural on that side.
Yes,
he played really well for Fulham last season, and he was.
I'm
going to
say
that
was the position
he
played for Fulham, wasn't it? Which was a surprise when we've got our problem is the right that we went for him when he's more of a left-sided player.
Yeah, his natural instinct is to dip inside on his right foot. So I'd like to see him play down that left-hand side, to be honest. And I'd put him in there ahead of Rashford. On the way that he's played so far, I'd put him ahead of Rashford, and I'd put him ahead of Barnes as well at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he excites, and I always say that he excites players when he comes on. He excites fans when he comes on. He gets the crowd going. But he seems to be better coming on as a substitute. And when he started, he's not had brilliant games.
Yeah, it's true. And I think, and I've mentioned this a few times, I think football now is moving towards, you know, more of a squad and picking a team with a view to who you're going to, the changes that you're going to make as well, to be honest. So I think you have to look at that and think, right, okay, I know what I'm going to get for him in 30 minutes, you know, for 30 minutes if I bring him on. But that doesn't always work out because you don't know how the game's going to go. You know, your game plan can be ripped up with an injury here or there. So it's a tricky one, but I think they take it more into account now, the changes that they're going to make.
Yeah. On the other side, to Lookman.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one, to be honest. So you've basically got Greenwood, Sancho, or Lingard versus Perez or Brighton.
There's only one option, I think, isn't there?
That particular button is always is going to be red. That's for sure.
No, it's too late. I've typed him in. You mentioned his name. He's in there. No,
it's a tricky one. This is because I'm really impressed. I like Mason Greenwood. I think he's a really good player. I like Lingard as well, really good player. But I'm going to pop Sancho in there. There's definitely a player there. I mean, he was fantastic last season, or the last couple of seasons for Dortmund. Not just his goals, but a number of assists that he's got. And I think Ollie's not really giving him free rein at the moment. And I think Greenwood is a big part of that, because Greenwood has been playing so well that it's difficult to drop him. So Sancho's not getting a look in. But
I know it's amazing they've been after him for so many years and now they've got him.
They're not playing him.
You've got to go on form. And as Maisie said there, Greenwood, and Rich says Greenwood on form. But no, Sancho gets your vote. And like you say, you know, why you didn't put Perez in there, I don't know. I'm sorry. I thought you were good at this, here, Craig. You've disappointed me. You really have. Right. Two central. I've gone for central defensive midfielders there. They don't have to be. We could actually go if you wanted for just two central midfielders.
Yeah.
We know one of them is going to be defensive, I think, anyway. Or two if you go for two Man Uniteds.
No, they're not going to be defensive players at all, to be honest. I know most people would love to put McTominay and Fred in, but not for me. So
I'll go and play Fred, please. Imagine a team with Fred and Perez in together.
I've got a feeling Fred's not available, which is disappointing.
Now, would this one begin with a T at all?
Choose whichever one of those you can go for. Let's go. Seeing as you've said him, let's put Tielemans in.
Yeah. I would have had to overrule you then, because I think at the end of the day, in fairness here, Scott says, I don't think Perez would make the reserve team now, never mind the subs bench. Brookline's gone for Perez as well. Devils, mate, we can't put Ndidi in, he's injured. Fred is out due to red list country, and Brookline's gone Sumare and Bruno. And Andrew's gone for Togba and Pillemans. change Bruno and Chowdhury. We've got a gap there in the centre midfield. Does this one begin with an F?
Yeah, it's got to be for me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever people think of him, you know, I don't particularly like his persona on the pitch. I don't like the persona of Henderson on the pitch either, but I think he's fantastic for Liverpool in what he does as well. You know, there's a lot of people whose persona on the pitch I don't particularly like. But from a purely footballing perspective, I mean, you know, what Fernandez has done since he's come to the club has been phenomenal for me. I can't leave him out.
One of those, I mean, I think it was a January signing, wasn't he? And one of the, if you look at January signings, which we all know aren't always the best signings, he's the exception to the rule. Again, we've gone for two up front. Should we go for the obvious one first that begins with R? I presume he's going to be in there.
Why not?
Go on, I'll twist your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be great to see him play. And I know what's going to happen. You know, Leicester fans, they're going to boo him. But, you know, it's one of the greatest players that has ever played.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's the greatest, but he's definitely one of the greatest. And the fact that you get to see, you know, one of the greatest players ever at your home ground should be something to be applauded, not booed. But you know damn well that he's going to get booed. And I hate it when... You know, there are certain players who deserve to be booed. I'm not sure Ronaldo deserves to be booed, to be honest.
I mean, you know, how far do we go back? I mean, you know, you can say, well, you know, look what he did to Rooney in the, you know, in the, was it the World Cup or the Euros or something, you know. And, you know, I don't like Ronaldo personally as a player. I don't like, or as a person.
Yeah.
When you read what he's done as a person, you know, he's made a lot of charity contributions, and that's the side you don't see, and I admire him for that, but I respect him as a player. You know, I respect him. Would I have him if he was available on a free? Yes, of course I would, you know, but it doesn't mean I particularly like him, if you know what I mean. But let's face it, he won't give a damn whether the Leicester players like him or not. But no. I can remember when we came up, I think it was under the, I don't know whether it was under O'Neill or not, but I can remember going down and watching Kevin Keegan. I think he was at Southampton at the time playing. And it was just like, that's Kevin Keegan I'm watching.
Yeah.
You know, and like you say, don't boo them because, you know, yeah, if they do a foul or they get, that's different. But no, like you say, enjoy the fact that you've got a chance to watch these great players, you know.
It'd be interesting to know. I'm obviously I'm not a Man United fan, so I don't know the timeline, but it'd be interesting to know. Part of me would guess that Evans and Ronaldo played in the same team at Manchester United.
I think you could be right there.
So that'll be an interesting matchup.
Mm. Let us know. Let us know, Maisie. To be totally honest with you, as long as he doesn't go over on his foot or something, I think I'd sooner have Evans in there than Vestergaard at the moment. Yeah. You know. But one position to fill. Everybody's saying, well, not everybody's actually, no, a lot of them are saying Iheanacho. But is it going to be Mr. V?
It's got to be Vardy for me. I mean, he's got a great record of scoring against the big teams. And,
yes,
you know, he's been a thorn in Manchester United's side, hasn't he? Virtually every time he plays him. And, yes, you can make an argument that Iheanacho's probably, you know, could be a better finisher overall. And he's warranted his place. And I'm hoping that he plays him tomorrow. I hope that he goes with, you know, Vardy and Iheanacho. But in a game, when you're picking the best between the two teams, for me, excuse me, Vardy has to be in there.
Andrews, basically, you've hit the nail on the head there. Exactly, you know. And like I say, for me, with players, I don't like Harry Kane particularly, but I respect him as a player. And if I bumped into the high street, would I be begging him for a selfie? Of course I would. Same with Jack Grealish. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Andrew, you totally 100% nailed it there. Yeah. And even Maisie says, no debate, Vardy has to be there for me. You know what, with Vardy? I was kind of writing him off at the start of the season. Because, he didn't have the best end of the season goal-scoring-wise.
Yeah.
But he's up there. He's joint top of the football
chart
at the moment with six. Never write him off, guys. Never write Vardy off. And he does play better against, like you said, the bigger teams because they tend to give more space than the, you know, Man City, you know. And we played well against them. We were unlucky, but they do give him that space that the lesser teams, if you like, don't.
And I don't think he's, again, someone correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've had any penalties this season, have we? I can't recall him scoring a penalty.
No, I don't think we have.
Out of his six that he's got so far. And usually he bumps his numbers up with a few penalties as well. Yeah. Maybe tomorrow.
Brookline, if you if I had a prize for the message or the post of the day, that would win it. Maybe this would be the Newcastle 2022 starting 11. Chris, need Chowdhury or Sumeri on tomorrow just to keep both Fernandes and Ronaldo quiet. This is, like I say, this is a bit of fun. This is just a joint who we think are the best players from the two teams to slot into an imaginary 4-4-2. Scott saying here, though, do you think he'll go 4-4-2 tomorrow? What do you think Brendan will do tomorrow?
I don't know. To be honest, I think he'll go 4-4-2 because I don't think he's got enough centre-halves to do anything else unless he brings Amati in.
No.
And then you haven't got anybody on the bench. So you can't change it and you can't bring anybody on. If there's an injury, you're going to have to change it in-game anyway. So for me, I don't think he has many options. He could potentially play Castagna and Pereira, I guess, and move Castagna in. But I think, for me, I think he needs to go 4-4-2. Again, Ollie's probably going to go with his two defensive mids again. So there's back four, two defensive mids, there's six. There's six players who are going to line up and look to predominantly be in their half. So if we're sitting back as well, geez, that'd be a bore fest. You know, we have to take the game to Manchester United. They always look more vulnerable when teams go at them and have a go at them. So I hope we do tomorrow.
We are at home, so we should. But we do know with Brendan, he can be very defensive at home.
He can be defensive and he can be stubborn as well.
Well, sounds a lot like you and me. We're each one, and we won't say which is which. Well, that was a team, and we're going to have a look at score predictions straight after this. Don't forget, guys, starting on Tuesday, go to the BBC website, Leicester City homepage. They've redesigned all their football pages this season, the BBC, and I will be making a comment every Tuesday. Nothing on the match, not a match report or anything like that, but something on something that's affected Leicester during the week, and that will be live on the BBC website, Leicester City homepage, every Tuesday.
And will you be able to use that photo of you and Dan?
Well, I'm going to say I am going to actually do a signed photograph. So that I could use that one, couldn't I? If people want to write in, send a stamped addressed envelope and I'll send you a signed photograph. Score predictions. Now, this has been interesting. In fact, I haven't done my long ball ones yet. I'll need to get on those in a minute. But it's been... Even the ex-players are kind of not very confident, shall we say. Now, I've gone for a 2-1, because I went for that one yesterday on the Man United Agendas show. I went for 2-1. So I have stuck with that. Ian Marshall, who you know, and far be it from me to argue with the big man, has gone 2-1 to the smaller half of Manchester. Steve Walsh, bless him, he'll never go against the club, so if he thinks we're going to struggle, he always goes for a draw. 1-1. Tags has gone 2-2. Steve Linex has gone for his reverse psychology again, he said, but he's gone 3-0 to Man United. I do hope you're wrong, Steve. And Ian Wilson, yes, Ian, finally, thank you, you've agreed. Gets behind Leicester. He's gone 3-1 Leicester. That would be rather nice. Well, you know, there's not a lot of choice left for you there, Craig, but any of those, or are you going for another 5-3?
I'm not going to go for 5-3. No. I mean, both defences have been, let's rephrase that. I think both defences tomorrow are going to be vulnerable. Obviously, you know, potentially Evans strengthens us, you know, particularly against the way that Vestergaard's been playing. So we're probably... be a little bit stronger than we have been. Manchester United are going to be on a second string centre half. So, cheers. So I'm going to go. I'm going to hope for a goal fest. I'm going to go 3-2 to Leicester.
I don't think. Okay, I say this every week. I don't think my heart would suffice. If I'm not here on the post match show, guys, blame Craig.
We'll probably go 2-0 up, get pulled back to 2-2, and then we'll get a late penalty.
Yes. I'm going to come to a last question, which is a very good one, from Andrew in a minute. Thanks for joining us, Static. You've had to go. Scott saying here, depending how we line up, if we have Nacho and Vardy up front, I fancy a 3-2 Leicester. Maisie's said 4-2 to Leicester.
Leicester, I assume.
Sorry. No, she meant Man United. I thought she was going for Leicester.
You have to take your first answer, I'm afraid, Maisie.
You do, and the four is up first, which is the home team. Yeah, and Dorco says 90th minute Vardy penalty to win 1-0 would be perfect. Again, if that has to happen, I think my heart would be going as bad as it was for the 3-2 that Craig chose. I just hope for a win. I really just do hope for a win. Andrew says here, what manager would you have, Brendan or Ollie?
It's a very good question.
And Maisie, who would you have?
I'd have to go Brendan, to be honest. I like Ollie. But, you know, anyone who has that wealth of talent at their disposal and then plays two defensive midfielders, not for me. I'm sorry. I can never get behind that. I quite like Scott McTominay, to be honest. I think he's a decent player, but I think he should be like Ndidi and be allowed to sort of patrol that space on his own. Scott McTominay and Fred, I mean, no. I can't imagine any other manager having all that talent at Manchester United and saying we really must stick with two defensive mids.
I just wonder, I just get this feeling with Ollie that he's almost a stopgap manager.
What, is he about poor. 4 years now, stopgap?
Well, this is what I mean. When he came in, it was obviously he was following, was it Van Gaal he followed or Mourinho? I think it was Mourinho, wasn't it? Because yeah. the team were in such a bad way. And when he came in, they just won, 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 won. Gave him a contract, I thought, a bit early. And I like Ollie, don't get me wrong. But he got the contract before his temporary contract as bad, because obviously he'd come over from Mould, I think it was. And then obviously it all went a bit pear-shaped. And I'd say probably temporary manager is the wrong word. He's not. I think silverware will come back to Man United. I don't think it will be under Ollie as manager.
I think it's interesting. You know, I mean, Ollie hadn't shown anything in his previous managerial career to give him that job, to be honest.
No.
You know, he'd not done great when he was at Cardiff. He got blown out of there pretty quickly. And the same at Mulder, I think he was doing okay and he left there. You know, why wouldn't he? He was always going to come to Man U if they came corner. But the thing that must gnaw away at Manchester United fans is, what if during these last three seasons we'd have had a Klopp or we'd have had a Pep or, you know, even a Thomas Tuchel or something, you know, during these years when we've got these players. And now you've got arguably, you know, you could probably put out one of the best 11s in the Premier League when everybody was fit, yet you've still got Ollie as the manager of it. And therefore, you probably never will put out your best 11. So that's got to be a frustrating, almost a what if, you know. And as you say, I'm the same. I like Ollie. But you just think that Manu could have done better and could have done more with a really, really top-class manager these last couple of years.
If it wasn't Ollie in there doing what Ollie's doing at the moment, and if it was another manager like a Van Gaal or something like that, then I don't think he would be given this time.
No. For me, Man United, I would, if I was a Man United fan, and I know a lot of them don't like it, but I would have loved somebody like a Conte, because I think they've got players who just need a rocket up the backside. They've got all the talent in the world, but you never really feel that they've they've got that sort of real up and at 'em desire, you know, and then Ollie's too nice to actually get up the backside. I think, you know, somebody like a Conte prowling around that touchline wouldn't allow them to rest on their laurels as much as Manchester United do. And, you know, if he came in 2 years, won something, and then it all blew up, fair enough. But, you'd have had some silverware.
Indeed. Craig, as always, sir, a true gentleman. Thank you so much coming on and being so honest and making the show look half decent and half look like we know what we're talking about, because I'm the half that doesn't. Thank you very much. Stay in the back room, because I'm going to have a quick word with you after to run something past you. But thank you very much, sir. Enjoy it at the if you can at the KP tomorrow. I'm sure you will.
I will be there. All right. Cheers. Thanks, everybody. Cheers, Chris.
Take care. Thanks a lot, Craig. Yeah, we're gonna have a tour. Oh, it's almost like being called back to the headmaster's office, isn't it? Go into the room and wait just there. We're going to be back tomorrow evening with this. Ish tomorrow, post-match show with Bradders, obviously, hopefully discussing 3 points to It's going to be Leicester, isn't it? It is going to be Leicester. Scott, I mean, I think you've got to say, mate, come on. the top order Glazers as owners. Yeah, we're not even going to have a vote on that. We know even the Man United fans would want our owners. Can you talk a bit longer than the half you're watching, Poirot, even? Maisie, great stream, both of you. Sorry I couldn't come in. If you're feeling better tomorrow and you fancy coming on the post-match show, drop us a line, Maisie. Put my teeth in. Would be great to have you on. Catch us up in 10 minutes on the old podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, and all of those. Podcast Addict. My memory is not what it is, but here we go. Anchor and Google as well. And obviously, if you've got the smart speakers, just ask the horse to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die. Still not sure about this, Dan. You are worrying me. Thanks a lot. Thanks to Craig. Thanks for joining in. Thanks to everybody who was in the comments. And we'll see you tomorrow at the 5:30 time. Take care now. And come on, you foxes.
Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.